Elvis Presley, the king of rock.
Elvis Aaron Presley.
Yes, clearly, quite.
as opposed to other Elvis Presleys.
It's important.
Well, you go to Las Vegas, you probably find 15 or 20 in 5 minutes.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That was an interesting statistic. And I know we got more important things to talk about, but in 1975, there was something like 300 Elvis imitators. Okay.
Really?
And in about 5 years after his death, there was 5,000 Elvis imitators. If you project forward to like the year 2096, 3 out of 5 people will be Elvis imitators here in the United States.
I like your math.
I like that.
Oh, well, that was refreshing there, Bill. Anyway, we need to plow on with this. Dennis has given us a list of some common things to look at, and we'll get this list posted on our Facebook page after the show.
10 common scams that are out there that the elderly fall to, and even our baby boomers that we are part of. Except for Caleb, but
I appreciate it. I'm going to say y'all are.
But this is something that, as we grow older, we fall to.
Mm-hmm.
We get trusting of other people trying to help us, and we want to accept that, and they take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you want to? Can we go through the list a little bit?
No, why not? Go through.
Yes. 10 common things that, you know, may be scams. Someone claiming to be from the Social Security office informing you that you're going to jail for fraud if you don't pay the fees.
Absolutely.
They don't contact you by phone ever.
No, they do not.
I probably won't be contacted because by the time Social
Security... Well, by the time you're old enough for it, we will have given up on that, yes.
You're contacted with sweepstakes or other contests, but winnings, but taxes or fees required to be paid up front to claim the prize.
Yes, they call and let you know that, hey, you won a lottery that we had in South Florida, and you were selected as the winner. But, you know, now you have to pay the fees because we have to have the taxes and everything taken care of and all the sponsor fees that we had and whatever relational fees were there. And we need you to pay that first. And that's always about $4,000 or $5,000 worth of fees to get $2,500.
And your answer to that should be either no, or why don't you just pay the fees out of my winnings and send me the balance?
That's right.
Obviously, the money's already there.
And I may be getting ahead of myself, but if any of these phone calls ask you to pay in the form of gift cards.
Oh, no, don't do that.
Immediate cue that it's something wrong.
Yes.
Well, we had a scam going on here in Bay County where they were calling and saying you owed, I don't know, some kind of court fee or some kind of adjudication against you, and you were to go down to Walmart and get Walmart gift cards and phone the numbers back into
I've
them.
Seen iTunes cards from my time as a cashier. Old folks come in and say, I want to buy this. And I'm like, well, may I ask what your purposes are? And they're like, I was told to get some.
Yeah, well, no government, no legitimate agency.
No government agency.
Certainly no government agency is going to ask you to pay your fines and fees. You can't pay your property taxes with iTunes cards.
Mm-hmm. More scams. Someone you've never contacted offers to fix a problem but requires a fee and or your personal information. Like someone offering to fix your computer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'd fall for that. I would fall for that.
Good to know.
I lost a computer because somebody in my family, who will go unnamed, clicked on a box. The box popped up in the middle of what they were doing. Says, your computer has a virus. Click here to fix it. And at that point, an offer to release the computer for $149 popped up after that. They didn't get it.
No.
Yeah. No. I just rebuilt it. And I said, I'm sorry you clicked on that. You've lost everything. You don't have backed up. Sorry.
And social media, Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, these are things that hackers and these bad hats, these black hatters, are sitting in there watching what you like and what you don't like. So if you're in the market for a new computer, that keys on that, hey, if I've got his information, I can find his phone number real quick on the internet. I'll give him a call and say, hey, we know you got computer problems. We can help you out. And there you have your scam started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was, one grandfather was contacted that his grandson had been pulled over in Atlanta with DUI charges, and the attorney needed to get bail in order to get him out. The funny thing was the grandson was sitting right next to it. He had picked all that up on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's another thing where they will call you about a family member, or family member will call you out of the blue asking for money when you haven't had contact with them.
Yes.
In that case, hang up, call the family member on the old number you may have, mm-hmm. not the one that just called you, and find out the legitimacy of their claim.
And if you're fine, if you get hit with a scam like this, the Bay County Sheriff's Department does have a group that works on these things, and please contact them, because mm-hmm. sometimes they just need one more little bit of information and they can shut down one of these avenues.
Yes.
So they work very hard on it. And if it seems too good to be true,
it is more than likely.
And we got one more that, you know, may not have been considered. Someone from an online dating site or social media site asking for financial help to pay for traveling or moving expenses so they can visit or move into your area. That's big. Romantic relationships can blind you to some of the mm-hmm. facts of the situation.
Oh, yes. If you're on Facebook and you're telling everybody that you're looking for a new mate or you're available, and you put all these neat little things in there, little flowers and pictures and little gifts and everything, out on social media, now that individual knows, hey, they're looking for somebody. I can use this, and I'll give them a call and say, hey, we're a dating service, and we'd like to help you. And then the scam begins from that point.
You'd think that these people would put all these efforts into these scams if they just went out and got a legitimate job. It wouldn't really be that much more work.
Well, you know, it's easier to just sit there and watch Facebook, because who is using Facebook? What demographic is actually using Facebook to talk to each other? It's our generation. Our generation is the largest user of Facebook anymore. Mm. Other forms of social media have come up where the next gen and Z generation and the millennials are all starting to look mm-hmm. and use those, where our generation is using Facebook, and it's so easy for that open architecture for them to find out information about us and use it.
Mm-hmm. And not to turn the end of this little segment into a shameless plug, but let's not forget that cybersecurity is also a career source, a career path here at Gulf Coast State College. And if you're interested in it, mm-hmm. guess what tomorrow is?
Super Saturday?
You got it. So if you're interested in this, please wander on by the Advanced Technology Center, which we are in right now, and check us out.
Yes.
Yes, check us out.
It's one-stop shopping to come school here.
Because...
And you don't have to be 18 to apply either, because you could be 60 and apply.
Yes.
And if you're interested in cybersecurity, please, by all means, call the school and ask for me, or get my extension, which is 2817. And I will be glad to help you and assist you get into the field and start to see if you could be the next greatest white hat for our generation.
Man, about a career with a future.
Yeah, yes. this is a career with a secure. Cybersecurity's got a secure future, and it'll never be dull, because just as fast as you plug one hole in that ship, another one's going to appear. So you'll always be moving, you'll always be learning, and we have to have probably at least as many white hats as we do black hats.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be at least a one-to-one ratio would make me feel
better. We would hope to have a one-to-one, but I don't think we'll ever have a one-to-one, because it's too easy to be bad.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Speaking of too easy to be bad.
Oh, man.
We have the surprisingly great Boomer Bill.
Tonight.
We're running out of time. So
okay.
Take it away.
Tonight. On the College of Rock and Roll Knowledge, our theme is, our college lesson is the Three Stooges. We focus on in the College of Rock and Roll Knowledge are the cultural icons and music of the early baby boomer generation.
Who is currently using Facebook.
That's right. Now, the Three Stooges, let me give you a little history on it. Back in World War I, there was a gentleman that wanted to be a Shakespearean actor or a spokesman or any kind of actor, but he got onto vaudeville. His name was Moses Horowitz. And one day while he was making his program, somebody runs into the theater and says, hey, there's a loose mule running down the street. Let's watch them catch it. This is a true story. And so the audience emptied out. So that tells you how well Moses was doing, okay, when a mule. Anyway, so they come back in, and he's just livid. So he starts insulting the audience. And he spots his brother there, Samuel Horowitz, in the audience. So he calls his brother up there, and they start doing this routine off the cuff about this audience and how rude they were to leave during his performance. Well, they thought that was a pretty good idea and kind of backdoored it, but, you know, we might do this later on. Later on, they got into with a guy named Larry Feinstein, who was an ex-professional boxer and violin player, who was also in vaudeville. Today, we know them as Mo, Larry, and Shemp. The three Shemp was the original, one of the original Three Stooges, yeah. Curly came in much later. And
Was wondering who that random one was that changed places.
Yeah, well, Shemp, just, they were in an act with another guy, and the other guy thought of the Three Stooges as his employees, and he treated them that way.
Gotcha.
So Shemp kind of got mad at it, and he left, and so Moe suggested, well, why don't we bring in my brother, Jerome? And so Jerome comes there, and he has long hair and a big mustache. And so they said, you don't look funny. So while they're trying to make a decision on him, he goes into another room and shaves his head. Comes back in, and that's how we got Curly.
Well,
great.
Well, anyway, that's how the Three Stooges got. They filmed some 200 episodes. Mm-hmm. Some of them were a full-length movie. Some of them were just 18-minute shorts that they would show at the movie theaters between major movies. Mm-hmm. And tonight we're going to talk about that and what happened to each of the six of the people that played the Three Stooges.
Good.